All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We're going to finish it in big style here tonight. Before I let you get into our next interview, I just want to remind you, it's been a huge year in sports in Houston. It is about to get even bigger. Two of the biggest, most successful soccer teams in the world coming to Houston July 20th. Manchester United and Manchester City will battle it out for the first time outside of England. It's July 20th at Energy Stadium, 8:30 p.m. It's the Manchester Derby. Two of the biggest rivals in all of sports right here in Houston. And in light of the recent tragedy in Manchester, a portion of all the ticket sales will be donated to the victims and their families. Go to internationalchampionscup.com to get your tickets. And this is it's going to be a big one. There are going to be people from all over the world traveling in here to Houston to see this. What I call this is going to be a spectacle. All right, with that, we bring in Eddie Robinson. Eddie, how are you, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
Very good. So you and Matt Peterson had the call of the Dynamo Seattle. I'm very interested to get your thoughts on the game. I watched the game, but I want to hear what you guys in the thick of it felt about it. Let's first talk about the Dynamo on the road here again and kind of your general thoughts on this one in Seattle.
Everything at this point now, the Dynamo on the road, I'm going to use the game against FC Dallas in Frisco as the baseline, right? So at this point now, that was a good game. Wasn't the best they could do, but it was a good game. So that's going to be my baseline from here on out for the rest of the season. The first half against Seattle, I thought the Dynamo, as far as playing on the road, executed their game plan. Tyler Derrick had to make one save, which, I mean, that for me is iffy because it was a mishit cross that he had to tap out of the way. And the defense, the back four, wanted to beat the Bezos. Even the guys on the wing, Minotis and Andrew Winger, were good defensively. 0-0 at halftime. I'm okay with that. You can't play maybe on the road the way you do at home, even though I'd like to see that. You and I have had that conversation. So then we get to the second half. And the Dynamo come out, and right off the bat, first 5 minutes, there's a little more possession. They're connecting a few more passes. Wilmer Cabrera brings on Albert Elise, and right off the bat, it's like three times the Dynamo win possession, three times straight in over top. He doesn't get in on all of them, but I like it. It's like, okay, this is the Dynamo we see at home. Are we going to see this more? This is awesome. Good stuff. They can't get anything out of it. It's still somewhat of a fairly innocuous game. Neither goalkeeper has to do much. And then I think it was the 24th or 25th cross of the game that Seattle had that Will Bruin got on the end of. And up until that point, the Dynamo center backs, Leonardo and Adolfo Machado, Juan David Cabezas, all of these guys were men among boys when it came to clearing these crosses. But there was the one they didn't get on the end of. And then you look at late in the game, and something that Wilmer Cabrera really stressed after the FC Dallas game was missed chances and missed opportunities. Albert Elise receives a fantastic through ball from Marmonotis. If he takes a touch, he draws Stefan Fry off his line. If he rolls it across to his right square, Vicente Sanchez is running in for a tap-in, but he takes a one-time shot going at the far post and misses terribly wide. And the Dynamo go down 1-0. So it's did they build off the Dallas draw? I wouldn't say they built off it. I think they did a lot of the same things. I think the mentality of the way the Dynamo play on the road is one of sitting back and trying to counter, which I'm okay with if you finish the opportunities you create. And so, the Dynamo have not done that yet.
Yeah, so two goals in Portland in the first half, and then they had a goal off a penalty kick. They have three road goals. They're, to me, depending on two or three chances and hoping they're going to put one away. I don't think it's a recipe for being successful on the road. I understand the defensive effort. It's better. I think Minotis, I think Elise, and I think who was the other one who had a chance? Kubo had one chance as well. He got nudged at the last minute by Alonso. I don't know. I see a very different Dynamo when Kyoto and Elise aren't in the starting lineup. I think you had a midfield that got a little bit fatigued at the end based on the Wednesday night game. I don't know. I just think you're playing Russian roulette when if you're going to create two chances, and I see Wilmer's comments after the game, and he says it's sad because the team did a very good job of controlling a team at home. I agree with that. Now remember, it's without Clint Dempsey, it's without Jordan Morris. We didn't allow them to create too many chances in front of goal. Agree there. Derek didn't have much to do. That you said the exact same thing. That's outstanding, he said. We had a few chances. We have to do better with that. But there's no killer instinct on the road with this team. The finishing was lame. They were finishes that were not struck with confidence. And I don't know if the Dynamo three set on the road is confident. And I don't think the Dynamo is dangerous when Elise and Kyoto aren't in the lineup together. And Kyoto still remains a bit of a mystery why he hasn't played. But I guess we were told that he was injured.
Well, I mean, we can go back one game, and Elise and Kyoto against Salt Lake, and Elise and Kyoto weren't in the game together. The thing for me, the thing that's, I guess, frustrating for me is when the Dynamo go on the road, they're too easy to play against. The wingers, in this case, the other night, it was Minotis and Andrew Wenger, dropped back so deep, which allowed the center backs for Seattle to split wide, which allowed then the outside backs, Jovan Jones and Brad Evans, to push so far up the field that the center backs could play almost as right backs with Svensson dropping into the center backs. It was basically a back three, so Seattle could knock the ball around all they wanted to. The Dynamo don't do that at home. They don't allow you to play that way. The Dynamo leave
what
their
part of the game did that happen?
Higher.
What
the
stage
entire
of the
game?
Yeah, but you just told me that Derek only had to make one save.
Right. Because
so you felt it was a good defensive effort.
Right, the defensive effort was fantastic, but if the Dynamo we're talking, I'm talking about now, creating chances and creating opportunities to score goals.
Okay,
that's what I'm getting at here is the Dynamo don't do that at home. They leave their attacking wingers up high, so that forces their opponents' outside backs to stay back. They have to stay back, so they can't join the attack. So now the Dynamo's midfield can roam around, can win balls, and they have outlets to play. And I want to see the Dynamo play with that kind of I want to say cockiness, but we're going to leave our wingers up top. We're going to find them every time, and we're going to bomb after you, like they did when Elise came in the game. Kept them high, played every ball over top the first three or four times. That's the thing. That's the only difference I see now, because defensively at home and away, the Dynamo are really solid. The only difference is in that attack and creating chances. And it looks to me like they're so timid and they're so willing to sit back on the road, and I don't think they need to be. Especially against a team like Seattle, when they don't have those attacking players that can counter the Dynamo's counterattack.
Yeah, I think to me it looks like a five-man midfield with those two wide guys tucked in a little bit, and then it's trying to break out of that when we win the ball. It actually worked okay against Atlanta, but again, the finish wasn't there. I mean, they should have went up against Atlanta in the first 15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So the road begins and continues to be a real struggle for the Dynamo. Anything you take out of this game, for me, Eddie, it all leads back to midfield. It leads back to midfield and be able to have decent possession on the road at times in games, because I don't think it can go, you know, all-out attack for 90 minutes. I think there has to be times in the game where you take the pressure off by being able to hold the ball and pass it and control it and get a collective breath. How was the ball possession on the road for you in this Seattle game?
It was not good enough. But I look at it as a situation, and I think it's a factor of the Dynamo sitting back. When you win possession of the ball, let's say 30 yards from the Dynamo's own goal, there's nowhere to play it. In this situation, they could play it into Kubo Torres' feet, but every single time, Chad Marshall or Roman Torres, who are both gigantic center backs, were right up his back, and the Dynamo lost it every time. Now, if you have attacking players out wide, you can play that ball out wide. They can take someone on. You can gain, you can gain another 20 yards of field space and open up, and then play back through your six, play back through Alex, play back through Ricardo Clark, switch the point of attack, and you give yourself the opportunity to maintain possession. The Dynamo didn't give themselves an opportunity to maintain possession this weekend, and that's, for me, again, it's a direct result of not having outlet players when you win possession of the ball.
So you're saying the Dynamo need they need to find another player to add to their midfield?
Either that, or they have to have another outlet. I really think that they need to play like they do at home. They need to leave their wingers high. They need to push everybody up a little bit higher so that they have outlets to play when they win possession, because they just didn't have that. They haven't had it on the road this year.
Didn't they try to do that? Didn't they do that in Portland for the first 45 minutes when they scored two goals and then Portland just pushed them back? They couldn't get out of their own half.
Yes, and they haven't played that way again the entire year. They haven't played that way, not the second half of Portland and not any half against any team yet.
Yeah, because my concern is
why.
This whole thing of accumulating. By the way, we're with Eddie Robinson here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. My concern is accumulating ties and draws. It's not a good thing. So what if you get five draws?
That's the way I feel like they're playing.
When you can win two games, I know it's all about points, but it's they're not ruthless. And they're not deadly on the road when it comes to finishing. That is apparently very clear.
I think it has to do with the way they go in tactically. I don't know. Wilmer Cabrera said at the beginning of the season, especially after that early Seattle game where Brian Schmetzer kind of threw one at the Dynamo, that it's a dangerous way to play. Well, Wilmer Cabrera said this is who we are and this is how we play. Yet they don't do that on the road. They do it at home and they kill everyone. They destroy everyone. But they don't do it on the road. Why not?
I think Wilmer's still trying to figure the road out, to be honest with you. I really do. I think they're still trying to figure the road out. Right now it's off the basis of collective defending and being a little bit deeper. But let's not forget, Atlanta ripped them apart for three or four goals only a couple games ago. So if we're looking at the snapshot of Dallas and then this match against Seattle, from a defensive standpoint, okay, you have to feel pretty good.
Yeah, I agree.
But the fact is, you only got 1 point out of two games. It's not going to cut it.
Yeah, it's 1 point out of, what, seven road games? So 1 point out of 21.
Yeah.
It's tough when you put it in that perspective,
Yeah, no, it is. And listen, we don't have all the answers, that's for sure. But, I just wonder how they're going to get points on the road. Some of them seem like different players. I think some of it from a performance perspective, I'm not talking about effort, from a performance perspective, can't recreate what they do at home on the road. And that to me is a worry.
Yeah.
That to me is a big worry. Let me switch gears. U.S. national team Venezuela. How do you feel about the U.S. going into their two World Cup qualifiers after that 1-1 draw against Venezuela? Obviously, two games before these qualifiers at altitude. That's what it's all about.
I like that Bruce Arena brought these guys in to train at altitude before going to Mexico City. I think that's really important. But I'm a bit nervous. I haven't seen the result. The worst team in CONMEBOL World Cup qualifying in Venezuela comes in, and we have to play. We have to kind of work from behind to get a draw. Looking at the lineup that the United States put out before the game, I'm like, wow. That's pretty formidable. Seeing Christian Pulisic at the number 10, Fabian Johnson's healthy, Clint Dempsey up front alongside Bobby Wood made me very happy. Jeff Cameron back at center back, I really like him there. This is really the U.S. is probably first choice 11. I'm sure there are a couple arguments here or there, but man, to see that game in 1-1 makes me a bit nervous. Do I expect us to win at Azteca? Not necessarily, but do I expect us to beat Trinidad and Tobago? Yes. If we play the way we did against Venezuela, do I think that we will? I'm not sure, Glenn. I'm just not sure. I'm nervous.
Yeah. I don't know about Trinidad. The Soca Warriors, they've been a mess. Can't get past them. It's a real problem.
Yeah.
I think it would be a real problem. Real Madrid winning again. I don't think there's any question. That second half, ripping apart Juventus, as good of a collective defending team as they are, that was pretty stunning.
It was so much fun to watch. Listen, I picked Juventus to win that game 2-1. I could not have been more wrong. A lot of credit to Juventus, at least the first half, and Mandzukic, what a goal, my goodness. But Real Madrid just suffocated them in the second half. They couldn't get hold of the ball. Paulo Dybala was average. For such a wonderful player, he was average.
I think the occasion was too much for him. I honestly think it was. I don't think he got on the ball a lot. And to me, the game changed with Marcelo and Carvajal, who began to push forward in the second half. I don't know why they found success doing that in the second half, but out of the locker room, in the first half, it was Alves pushing Marcelo back. But I thought those two guys led the charge, and that really, to me, was the turning point in the game. The two outside backs changed the game for me.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with a lot of people that I've seen their opinion that Luka Modric was the unsung hero of this game, in possession, winning fouls, gaining possession at certain points, and Casemiro. And one thing that I did say to you,
don't forget Toni Kroos
last week. Yeah, the one thing I said to you last week was the midfield. Whoever controls that midfield is going to win this game. And it wasn't just that Real Madrid controlled it; they dominated it.
Nobody had a bad performance on that team. Kroos was amazing. Modric was amazing. Nobody talks about them, but they're such a fundamental basis of the way that team's set up.
And going into the summer now, with the opportunity for transfers, I mean, does Real Madrid really need anything? I mean, can you say that about any team in the world, that Real Madrid is maybe the only team that can't improve somewhere?
Well, they probably don't, but the fans expect them every year to make a huge signing from that perspective. Every year they have to make a big signing. Yeah. So is Mbappe going to end up there? Who knows? I don't think he's going to end up at Arsenal.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Oof. So, well, Eddie, listen, as always, much appreciated. We appreciate you weighing in on it. And, I hope the Dynamo can get these road games figured out. I think they're making progress, but from an attacking standpoint, it still seems to be at a standstill. So, we'll see down the road here. The Dynamo have a little bit of a break here. The international break comes up, and I don't think you and I get back to work on a Dynamo broadcast until July, but we do have the Dynamo taking on FC Dallas on the 23rd. So that'll be a huge game.
The next league game for the Dynamo is away to LA Galaxy. So, Wilmer Cabrera's got a few weeks to work on these guys and try to figure something out. So that'll be fun.
Man, LA's finally getting themselves rolling a little bit under Kurt and Alfa. So Giro Santos in LA, next game up for the Dynamo. And, we'll talk about that the next time we come on the air. Eddie, thank you as always for coming on.
Anytime, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's the one and only Eddie Robinson. You saw him on the Cube with Matt Peterson on the Seattle call. I was away doing the Orlando City, Chicago national broadcast for Fox. All right. As we say goodnight here, internationalchampionscup.com. Internationalchampionscup.com. That's where you get your tickets to Manchester United against Manchester City. It's here in Houston, believe it or not, at Energy Stadium. Manchester United. So the derby is going to be held for the first time ever outside of England. Manchester United, Manchester City. Again, you get your tickets at internationalchampionscup.com. That is the place to get your tickets for this. This is going to be a spectacle in Houston. I don't think there's any question. Spectacle. July 20th, Energy Stadium, 8:30 p.m. Manchester derby, first time ever held outside of England. Two of the biggest rivals in all of sports, and it's right here in Houston. Part of the ticket portion will be donated to the victims and their families. So it's internationalchampionscup.com. I'm going to say goodnight. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters. You can get the podcast of this show at podcastarena.com and also on iTunes. For Tyler Scott, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night.